Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Welcome back to Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
All right, welcome back in. 11 o'clock hour here on a Thursday. Hanging out with you until noon. Bobby V after us here on Issel and Louis, 680, 105.7. First replay after Bobby V at 3 o'clock. Reminder, we want to thank the folks over at Wing Zone today for dropping off, catering to the ESPN Louisville studios. 20 boneless and the jumbo wedge, still just $15.99. That is perfect for lunch, dinner, catering to your office. Online at wingzone.com. They got a ton of deals on the website. Check them out in their three area locations. The new one, of course, on Dixie Highway in front of Holy Cross, Papa Level Road, and in Hikes Point. But without further ado, a man who's been writing a lot about the NBA Finals, so we will come in and pick his brain about just that. His name is Jay Davis, joins us from Cranes Detroit and First Gen Sports. Jay, how are you, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good. You're getting a lot of response to these running game logs. Are you having fun doing them?
Yeah, man, it's a lot of fun. For me, it's just raw, thoughts while you're watching the game, while things are happening live. So it's just fun to do it.
Jay, are you like the national media? Do you flip-flop on your comments? If one team gets ahead by five, they're the best thing that ever came down the pike, and then you flip when the other team gets a five-point lead?
No, you can't do that. That's what they do every morning on all the shows. But yeah, you gotta hold with your stance. And if something changes, then it changes. But I'm not switching up on anything.
Yeah, we haven't had a chance to talk since game number two. Brilliant move by Spoelstra to put Kevin Love in the starting lineup. Don't you think?
Yeah, it worked out pretty well for him. Love didn't have some huge offensive game, but, he provided the resistance they need against Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon had a huge game in game one, with all those, cross matches and switches. They had Vincent guarding him a lot, Max Strus, a lot of smaller guys. And then Love, just loves a wide body, he could just hold his own against, Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon didn't have a great game two. He rebounded to have a pretty good game three, and, Aaron Gordon.
Hey, wait a second. Wait a second, Jay. I should have given you a heads up. Kevin Love stinks.
Kevin Love doesn't stink.
I'm sorry, Jay. I'm sorry this show.
they needed Kevin Love for that. Yeah, I know. I know what you're doing. But, yeah, that worked out pretty good for him. at least one night. But yeah, I think Denver's back in control.
Yeah, Jay Davis.
I would say so.
It's usual spot on Thursdays, begrudgingly here on Issel and Louis. We'll take you up until noon. Final sort of rolling along. We get to see the Nuggets back in control, as you mentioned. It is Dan's assertion that while the media is fawning over Eric Spoelstra, and frankly for good reason, Malone's doing as good a job, and frankly isn't lying to the media ever. Like, the guy gets, when he gets in front of the media, he just tells the truth. What do you find of the job he's doing so far?
Yeah, he's doing a great job. These series turn into chess matches, and each game, both coaches, win or lose, make some adjustments. And Mike Malone, Mike Malone's doing just as good a job as Spoelstra is. Last night, you saw him. He continues to cut Michael Porter Jr.'s minutes just because he's not, playing very well. And then Christian Braun, gets gets those minutes and, you know, has the game of his life to this point. So, you know, Mike Malone's pushing the right buttons just like Spoelstra is.
Jay, it's my assertion, and I admit I'm looking through rose-colored glasses here. I haven't been this excited about a playoff series since the Cubs won the World Series against Cleveland. But I think if both teams, I wasn't so enamored as everybody else with Spoelstra's adjustments. I thought the Nuggets played awful, absolutely awful in Game Two, and I think if the Nuggets play their best game and the Heat plays their best game, I think the Nuggets win. Am I being a homer here?
No, you're right. That's absolutely the case. You know, what Miami did in Game Two was, you know, they had the game where they hit, you know, close to half of their threes, and you see what last night. I think they were like 33% from three. They were like, you know, 11 for 33. So they hit 11 threes, but they didn't hit them at the clip they did on, you know, on Sunday night. So that was a big difference. You know, Denver's defense was great last night. You know, you saw that even like, you know, people are coming around. You know, a lot of people a couple years ago were saying that Jokic was a bad defender, but he's turned into a pretty reliable defender. And last night he was really good on that end of the floor. I know he had that huge triple double, and you know, his defense is kind of an afterthought, but last night he was really good on defense, challenging shots at the rim, you know, closing out, you know, pushing guys to the baseline on those baselines, you know, toward the baseline on drives and forcing tough shots. So, yeah, you know, Denver's best is better than Miami's best. You know, I think that's clear.
Jay Davis with us. You know, a bunch of things being written about Nikola Jokic and his place. And, you know, are you of the opinion, especially let's say they win this in five, let's say they just – They're refocused. They've got the next two games, and Jokic keeps up the statistical pace that he's been at. When we talk about single season runs through the playoffs, where is he going to rank?
He'll be right up there. You know, a lot of people talk about Kawhi in 2019, Giannis 2 years ago, pick any Michael Jordan run. You know, LeBron in 2016. But you know what? He's averaging a triple double, you know, so far in the playoffs, and I think that's only happened one other time. I can't remember off the top of my head who did it. I want to say Oscar Robertson, but I might be wrong. But yeah, you know, he's having an all-time run, and if they get that, if they get this ring, you know, he'll be one of the top 20 or 25. He'll be considered one of the top 20 or 25 players of all time. You know, he'll go in front of David Robinson, Karl Malone, even Charles Barkley, even Dirk Nowitzki. You know, he'll move ahead of those guys, and you know, if he keeps this up, you know, he's just going to keep rising.
Yeah, I it's amazing to me. I think right now, Jay, he and Jamal Murray might be the best 1-2 punch in the NBA. I mean, they're doing it. They're getting nothing from Michael Porter Jr. I don't know what's happened to him. That they're getting nothing from him.
That's how he's always up and down. You know, I saw last. You know, I'm just looking at stuff last night, and he had a 6-for-10 game, I think, in Game 3 against Phoenix in the second round. And since that game, he's shooting 25-for-75. So, you know, he's struggling. You know, Mike Malone, his minutes have dipped each game of the finals. And, you know, Mike Malone's just not going to take any chances with that. And, you know, but last night was a game, you know, for both teams. I know Bam and Jimmy Butler didn't shoot as well as Jokic and Murray. But you could tell from the tip last night that that game was about the stars. And Denver's best two guys are better than Miami's two best guys, and that's what it comes down to in the finals.
Yeah, what did you think about my assertion that they might be the best 1-2 punch in the league right now?
Oh yeah, right now they are. You know, I can't say Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, you know, because there's a lot there. You know, they're very talented, but I think they need more skill. You know, like I would probably say Jokic and Murray are 1-2. And even though, you know, they lost in the second round, I would put Durant and Booker at right behind them, you know, just because they have
great,
a high level of talent and a high level of skill. And then after that, you know, it gets murky. I mean, I would say LeBron and Anthony Davis, but LeBron's going to be 39 next year. And, you know, after those two, it gets tough trying to figure out the best duos.
Jay Davis with us. Looks like Chris Paul is out of Phoenix. Do you think his next move is about money or about a title?
It'll be about a ring. It's too early to say, you know, if he's going to leave. All the reporting is saying that they're going to look at all the options available, whether that's whether it is him leaving, whether it's, you know, stretching his deal, whether it's, you know, if they, I think there's a provision where they can give him half of his, I think he's due like $30 million next year. And I think if they figure something out before the end of this month, they will only have to give him half of that, which will give them like $7 or $8 million for, you know, to sign another player. So there's a lot of options there. If he leaves Phoenix, he's gonna go to the Lakers. You know, that's just what I'm almost positive about that. I think there are a lot more intriguing places for him to go, just considering, you know, he's a guy that legitimately, ever since he got drafted, everything he's been on has gotten better. You think about that Oklahoma City season always comes to mind. You know, that was a team, even after he went there, that was picked to finish like 12th or 13th in the West, and they were in the 4-5 series in the playoffs, and they took Houston to 7 games and almost won a series. So, you know, you look at teams like, the first team that comes into mind, you know, is Minnesota, because Minnesota has a lot of talent, but they don't really have any leadership. I think Anthony Edwards is going to grow into a leader, but he's not there yet. I'm not saying Chris Paul would have to play 30, 35 minutes there, but just having him in that locker room would do, you know, I think would do wonders for him. You look at some younger teams that don't really have championship aspirations, but that can make a jump if they had Chris Paul, like Orlando. You know, even a team like Memphis, if they wanted to bring him in as an adult in that locker room, that would work. But I think if he leaves Phoenix, he's going to the Lakers.
You know, Jay, I've said a long time he's my favorite player, and I know his body is starting to betray him, and he's not as healthy as he always was, but he's one of my favorite players. I love watching him play. I think he knows how to play the game of basketball, but it looks like to me Phoenix says they're exploring their options. It looks like to me that Chris Paul's in control here, because if they cut him, he gets, as you said, he goes to the Lakers, and they really, with all of the other people they have, with Durant and Booker, they can't bring in a player good enough to replace him. So I think that Chris holds all the cards here, doesn't he?
Yeah, you know, I mean, just if they waive him, like you said, you know, he can go wherever he can. He either gets to go wherever he wants, or he stays with Phoenix and he gets all his money. They're also looking at, you know, their options with DeAndre Ayton. I would think, you know, even though Ayton hasn't been great, and I know Frank Vogel, who was hired last week, has said that he wants to kind of turn him into this all-league defensive player. I think if Phoenix ran it back, they would be better than they were this year, just because, you know, they'll have a different approach. They'll have a full off season and a full season with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker together. I mean, I get one. You can't pay a 38-year-old point guard who breaks down every year that type of money. But right, there's still a role for him on that team. You know, if you look at the stat, I mean, you can't just always watch a box score or look at the analytics. But Chris Paul, if you look at the numbers, is still a very productive player. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. He'll have options, and I think one of those options should be Phoenix.
It's Jay Davis. He joins us here in his usual spot on Thursdays on ESPN Louisville, here on ESPN 680. 105.7. Did you see the – there's a lot of buzz around here because a kid just left AAA here in Louisville to go to the Cincinnati. His name is Ellie De La Cruz. Did you see his home run? Did you hear that home run call last night?
I'd hear the call, but I saw he smoked it. Yeah, that was great.
Do you have you live in a golf house. Do you have a PGA LIV reaction?
You know, that was weird. You know, just, you know, seeing how that happened, and, you know, you had so many golfers who didn't go, you know, kind of carrying the water for the PGA, and now they look, I don't want to say they look like idiots, but, you know, they do kind of look like idiots, and, you know, the chair
lost out on a ton of money.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, they're making lots of money, you know, particularly Tiger and Rory. I think Tiger Woods lost out on $1 billion. Rory lost out on like a half $1 billion. But, you know, it's just the way that thing has gone. And, you know, the people talking about, you know, people try to take the moral high ground. And when you're in a corporation, that's usually that as things don't always stay that way. So I don't know. It's just interesting how that went down. I'm interested to see how things go forward. Liv had a really bad TV deal. I was texting with some of my buddies, and you know, I said that their tournaments were broadcast on the CW, and he thought I was joking. So now they'll get, you know, more exposure. You know, I think they're like the lone investor with the PGA. So it'll just be interesting to see how this is going forward. And we already saw yesterday that the commissioner of the WNBA said that depending on the circumstances that they would play a game in Saudi Arabia. So we, you know, people have been talking about how the other pro leagues here wouldn't do that. But, you know, we already had one, you know, step up and say, yeah, we'd go over there if the terms were right.
Yeah, it's always about the money, Jay. It's always about the money. And you're absolutely right. These poor guys that I saw, I think it was in The Athletic this morning, they said that the only guy that looks good here is Roy McIlroy. And I said, what? Roy McIlroy yesterday said, I feel like the sacrificial lamb. And you know why? Because he was the sacrificial lamb. That's why he should feel that way. And he also said, he stuck with, I hate LIV. And DeChambeau said it best. He said, I feel sorry for these guys that stayed in the PGA because they missed out on a ton of money. And now we're all going to go back and play in the PGA. So Moynihan and Rory said he still believes in Moynihan. How can he possibly still believe in Moynihan?
Well, you know, like I mentioned, you know, he's carrying water for the PGA. You know, he doesn't want to publicly, you know, I'm sure there's been some talk in rooms or, you know, in private where, you know, they've called Moynihan to the carpet. You know, Rory's just, you know, being a good guy, you know, a good guy in front of the public. I think that's what that comes down to.
Little LIV PGA. Did your wife actually ever get worked up about that? Was she ever, you know, kind of angry about it? That, because I have always smiled about a bunch of kids who grew up in country clubs getting upset that someone else started a league.
Yeah. She didn't. You know, I'm not going to say she didn't care. She kept up with it, but, you know, she wasn't like, oh my God, how can they do this? You know, they play. You know, I know golf's a little bit different than a lot of the other pro leagues because you do have a longer window to make your money. But these guys are still trying to make money. You know, they got families and they have business interests, so they're trying to get as much money as they can.
What merger was better, AFL NFL or ABA NBA?
Oh. Well, the AFL-NFL merger gave us the Super Bowl. I don't know, but, you know, the ABA-NBA merger brought, you know, Dr. J to the league and, you know, Dan Issel and, you know, a lot of other guys. And I don't know.
That's why I love you, Jay.
They were both good for business. You know, but that's the NFL merger, you know, bringing on the Super Bowl. It's like the biggest TV draw every year, so I would probably have to say the AFL-NFL merger.
Jay, let's get back to the NBA Finals for a second. Who wins game number four? Yeah, the Heat bounce back, or is this series over?
I think the Heat will play better, but, you know, Denver won a game where it didn't play well. I don't think Denver played particularly well in game one. And then in game two, Miami got hot and won by three, you know, and Jamal Murray had a chance to tie. And then, you know, last night, Denver was locked in on both ends of the floor. And, you know, they pretty much won going away. I know the score didn't look like it at the end, but they pretty much won going away. I think Denver's going to close it out Monday night at home. And hopefully you're there on the floor with the grandkids.
I don't know if I can take them all again, but I know one thing. I'm going to be there.
Oh, don't worry. Dan will make that whole evening about him. Don't worry about it. Dan will be real good at that. He'll be the first person to touch the trophy and all those other things and push Silver out of the way. How tall is Adam Silver, Dan?
Adam Silver's pretty good size. I think Adam Silver's, I'm guessing, 6'4", 6'5".
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, because you don't like him very much, so we could just push him out of the way during the ceremony, and you could hand out the trophy, right?
Well, I it's not that I don't like him. I mean, we have. I just don't think he's not David Stern. in my estimation. He's not close to David Stern. And so, but, you know, they're making, everybody loves a winner, and they're making a ton of money. Hey, Jay, I want to ask you about this. For the first time ever, I think, a couple days ago, Adam Silver mentioned expansion. Do you think that's coming?
Yeah, of course, and it's going to be Vegas and Seattle. I mean, those are two cities I'm sure of. LeBron's already, you know, kind of, you know, behind the scenes and making his move to, you know, to be a part of a group to get a team to Vegas, and just move going back to Seattle is just, you know, just a natural move that they're going to make. I think that'll start to happen in the next 2 or 3 years.
We had Mark Spears on yesterday. You know who Mark is. He writes for the Anscape on ESPN for the NBA. We had Mark on yesterday, and he made a great point about Mexico City. He said putting one in Las Vegas, their TV market is going to be very small because there's competition in all their adjoining states. He told us there are 30 million ESPN subscribers in Mexico. So I thought he made a pretty good case for expanding to Mexico City.
Yeah, that is a good point about the market size, but, you know, then we have teams in Salt Lake City and Portland, and, you know, maybe you don't want to add another small market to that, but, I mean, I think there's just going to be a push for Vegas that, you know, that they're not going to be able to stop.
They had a huge referendum the other day where about 85% of Nevadans rejected money for the A's stadium. So it'll be interesting
really?
To see.
Really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so I'm starting to wonder if they're like, okay, we've got football, we've got hockey. Do we need more stuff? Like, you know, like, do we really need all these other teams? And do we need to pay for them, I think, is what people are starting to wonder. And so that'll be interesting to see. Jay Davis with us, usual spot at JDavis_1981. On Twitter, go find his stuff there. Jay is blogging for and writing for First Gen Sports, 1stgensports.com as well, during the NBA Finals and during the NBA Draft afterward, of course. Any draft updates for us, Jay? Have you been watching that? Anybody? Obviously, we've got the Victor Scoot and Brandon Miller thing up top. Anybody after that?
Yeah, you know, Cam Whitmore. You know, a lot of people here like Cam Whitmore and Anthony Black. I'm really interested to see what happens with 2 and 3. You know, does Portland trade that pick? You know, if Dame's like serious about staying there, which I mean. There's enough of this, you know, I want to win in Portland. It's not going to happen. They had one chance, and they got swept by the Warriors in the 2019 West Finals. But, you know, people are talking about Charlotte passing on Scoot to take Brandon Miller just because, you know, a lot of people think, you know, because LaMelo Ball is a point guard, and he's small. LaMelo Ball is 6'6", and he's rangy. You know, if he wants to guard, you know, bigger guards and wings, he could do it, and then you put another athlete in that backcourt with him. I think that would work just fine. I just don't know why there's so much talk about. I know Brandon Miller is he's a really good scorer. He's a good playmaker, you know, at the three, but I don't think he's as dynamic as Scoot Henderson is, and I don't know. I just don't see why, you know, why Charlotte would pass up the chance to take him.
Jay, does Wembanyama make San Antonio an automatic contender, or do they need more pieces as deep as the West is?
They'll need a couple more pieces. They have some. They actually had, you know, they've been so bad, but they actually have some really good building blocks. Like Keldon Johnson, you know, he's good, and Devin Vassell, he's good. Jeremy Sohan, you know, he came out of Baylor, he's a good player, but you know. Wembanyama, I think, you know, they'll have a jump next year, you know, just because I think Popovich will be, you know, locked in, and Wembanyama will get them, you know, at least they'll win at least 30 games next year. There'll be some excitement, and then in his second year will be the year that they have to push for the playoffs. Like, you know, Oklahoma City this year, I think they, you know, I know they lost in the play-in, but they were kind of ahead of schedule, you know, especially with Chet Holmgren being out. And I think, you know, that second year, if you're a team that's picking this high, you know, you usually get like a mulligan for that first year once the guys come in. And then that second year is when, you know, you need to start showing some improvement and, you know, making a push to the playoffs.
All right, we'll get you out of here on this. Our culture item today is about dessert. A, do you have a sweet tooth, Jay Davis? And B, what is your sort of favorite national thing that everybody has? And then like a personal favorite, maybe your mom makes a pie or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I do like sweets, but I try to eat them, you know. But my wife, she makes these peanut butter bars. And it's chocolate, peanut butter. You know, you take the peanut butter and melt it in the microwave. And she crushes up graham crackers. It's better than a Reese's cup to me. But we have some in our fridge. We have a huge basement fridge. And every once in a while when I go down there, I take one out and eat it. But I used to eat them all the time, and then I found out I can't do that anymore. But, yeah, that's my personal favorite dessert. I like ice cream like everybody else. I'm sitting next to my wife, and she reminded me, I love cheesecake.
Ah, okay.
Cheesecake with a graham cracker crust. I don't really like it with the fruit on it, but my mom used to make when I was younger. She would make two of them. She'd make one with cherries on top. And then just a plain one, you know, just a cream cheesecake and a graham cracker crust. I love cheesecake.
Well, there you go. Well, he is Jay Davis. Hold the fruit, people. At @JayDavis_1981. And we will so next game in the NBA Finals is what, Saturday?
Tomorrow night.
Friday at 8:30.
Oh, tomorrow night. Okay. All right, so check out Jay tomorrow then at First Gen Sports. Go find his stuff for his live blog of the game as well. Jay, we appreciate your time, man.
Thanks, Jay.
All right, thank you, guys. Talk to you next week.
All right, see you, Jay. There you go. All right. Mexico City, huh? Think they'll be the Aztecas or something like that? It'd be pretty awesome, actually. Why don't you do the longer read here? We'll go to break.
All right. Hey, are you looking for an insurance company that you can trust? Look no further than Delta Dental of Kentucky. Delta Dental is a local, not-for-profit insurance company that's been serving the people of Kentucky for over 50 years. Delta Dental of Kentucky provides dental and vision insurance to both individuals and businesses across the Commonwealth. They are committed to helping you and your family achieve optimal oral health. So why wait? Sign up for Delta Dental of Kentucky today and start enjoying the benefits of a healthy smile. You can visit them at deltadentalky.com, or you can always call 800-955-2030 to learn more.
You're listening to Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
All right, welcome back in. Final segment here on In Your Home for all things instrumental music. That would be Issel and Louis taking you up until noon. Bobby V after us. And, of course, First Replay 3-6 today, 7-6 every single weekday. Here we go local on ESPN 680, 105.7. Second hour of the show presented by our friends at Delta Dental, deltadentalky.com. And if you are a dentist and you happen to be listening right now, check out the Dentist Tools tab at the top of the homepage. They got a toolkit and resources there for you to help you join the network and expand your practice with Delta Dental. What a great option that could be. Get even more patients in to see you with deltadentalky.com. Belmont Stakes this weekend, Dan. Air quality issues. They canceled yesterday and today at Delaware Park. If people don't know where that is, it's closer to Philadelphia, so even further south than New York. They are hopeful that the wind will change directions here, Dan. Have you seen any of these pictures of New York?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of them. And it was like that in Denver for a couple of days last week.
Okay. Wow.
It wasn't as bad as it is in New York, but it was... It looked like a very overcast, cloudy day when, in fact, it was the smoke from the Canadian wildfires. So I guess it's just moved across the country. But, yeah, the pictures of New York are awful.
Here's what I have to say to people in New York. If Dan and I can attend this last year's Breeders' Cup at Keeneland and they can run in that wind, you can figure out the fog. You'll be okay. We almost lost Mike Gandolfo twice. Twice.
It's a good thing he weighs 280.
Whoa, 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 whoa. A little appearance-based radio all of a sudden from Dan Issel. I don't know if I like that.
I told you yesterday I don't like Mike. Welcher. He welched on our bet.
We did find out from you, speaking of horse racing, little Dan Issel at the Indiana Derby this year.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep. So have you been to the Derby itself or just a horseshoe?
No, just to Horseshoe. I've only been to Horseshoe once. I went up there. We had a filly making her first start up there, and so I you know was in Louisville, so I ran up there, and so I've only been there on one occasion, but right, I've never been to the Derby.
All right. So here's the dilemma we have. You don't like Mike Gandolfo, but he has to be there because he's part of the show.
Right.
Is that okay?
Why, sure. Okay. I had teammates that I couldn't stand, but I
you still did the work.
Player.
You were still a professional.
Yeah, I still played with him on the court, and yeah. No, that's fine. That's fine. Don't expect me to, you know, go out and socialize with him.
Understood. No, I get that.
But I'm a professional. I'll bring my A game.
Noted Indiana resident Mark Blankenbaker has expressed interest in attending the Indiana Derby. Should we allow him?
Well, sure.
Okay,
sure.
We like Blank.
Mark will say something stupid. He's always good for a laugh. He'll tell us how Teddy Bridgewater's a free agent.
Future jockey. It'd be great. Get Bridgewater on a book. By the way, Indiana is home to, I was thinking of Teddy that's like 6 foot or 6 foot or something. Have you met Deshaun Parker, the jockey? He's 5'10".
Yeah, I have. I have.
The guy looks like a freaking giant. It's unbelievable.
He walks out of the jocks room and he's a head taller than anybody else coming out.
Easily. Oh man, he's a funny guy. Just won his 6,000th race this year.
Yeah.
Woof. But anyways, all right. So we'll have a little Dan Issel, but a little Horseshoe there. So. Texture, they should just have the horses put gas masks on like a jousting tournament. I'm with you. Let's make it happen. Figure it out. Oh, man. I was going to say, I think of the weird weather days. I was at the Justify Derby where it just, I mean, I think they got 3 inches of rain.
It was awful.
The Justify Preakness, which was so cloudy, we couldn't see the horses until about 100 feet before the finish line.
I remember that, too.
This last Breeders' Cup was so windy. Oh, my God. It was unbelievable. I'm stunned we didn't lose every hat that we brought there, but we didn't, so that's good. So hopefully they're able to run. I am interested because they're supposed to run the Acorn tomorrow, like we mentioned, and they might not be able to do it.
So. No, they've got 4 or 5 stake races tomorrow.
All right, Dan. I mentioned the sweet tooth to Jay.
Mm-hmm.
You do not strike me as someone with a huge sweet tooth.
No, not at all.
Do you have a dessert, though, that you enjoy?
I'm always up for a good chocolate chip cookie.
Perfect. Okay.
I like, at Subway, they have those, chocolate chip and macadamia nut, cookies. I can eat one of those. I guess like for my birthday or something like that.
Okay.
I enjoy a German chocolate cake.
Ah, sure.
My grandmother made a fabulous German chocolate cake. So on my birthday cake is always German chocolate. But I'm not a sweet tooth person at all.
Texter, Dan, Louie understands this because he doesn't like his co-host, but he does it anyway. Some of these on this list I thought were really good.
You know,
like that, you've had baklava before, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Baklava,
very good.
Creme brulee. I love.
Do you like cannolis, Dan?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't. Yeah,
you don't seek them out, fine. But you enjoy them.
No, no. The only dessert on this list that didn't look appetizing was that thing in Singapore.
I was actually going to bring that up because when I was studying linguistics, I would have a lot of Asian friends, and their I don't even know the bean that they would use, but they would essentially just sugar up some beans and bring them almost like a tapioca to parties. And I tried it once, and I was like, oh, no, this is...
No, we're not doing that. Singapore dessert looks disgusting.
It looks like that. It looks disgusting.
Yeah, no, all the other ones look delicious.
Yeah. I am a sucker for a good creme brulee. I've never had a Don Tots, which is the Hong Kong one, but my wife assures me that it's very good. And then have you ever had the torta, the Hungarian?
No.
Tortas? They're all almond-based. If you like almonds, they're really good. So there you go. Do you enjoy gelato, Dan?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't care much for ice cream either.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. No. Mm-mm. Okay. No, thanks. I'm reading a book. There's a series of books Sherry ordered for me.
About, and yes, he can read. People, settle down. Jeez.
About horse racing, and it's okay. It's kind of based in Lexington. You know, they throw a like a Keenelander or something out every once in a while, but it's a mystery. And the lady who is had to come back from New York to run the stud farm for her family. She was making a grilled cheese with mustard and pickles.
Oh yeah.
That's exactly how I eat my grilled cheese. Grilled cheese with mustard and dill pickle slices. Now I'll take that over baklava any day. Any day.
I like them both. Okay. All right.
What's your favorite dessert, Lewis?
A shot of bourbon, I guess. I don't know. I think I'd rather drink my dessert. I'll invite Avery to the mic here. I don't know if she has much of a take on this, but what she can actually eat here. But I would honestly rather have like a small cappuccino or something than actual dessert, I think.
Yeah. I mentioned we went out Monday night. We went out to dinner with our friends, Bill and Barbara, and it was Bill's birthday. And for dessert, Sherry and Bill and Barbara split a big piece of chocolate cake.
Okay.
And they had a candle in it for Bill's birthday. I had a Stella.
Yep. Yep. What do you think, Avery?
Three spoons and a Stella, please.
So we all know that I can't eat anything, which is great, but also not very great. But so when I can't have a lot of desserts, just because basically everything I'm allergic to goes into some form of dessert.
Sure.
But I really like cookies, brownies, cake, and ice cream. So, yeah, like, typically if we are having an event, like, when I'm visiting my parents, we go to the store so that I can pick out my own dessert, and then I hoard it. Because, hey, y'all can have whatever dessert that my mother is making, because 9 times out of 10, I can't eat it. And I'm going to eat my own. And, hey, when you can't eat anything, you reserve the right to not share the food you can eat.
So
yeah, I go and I buy the frosted sugar cookies.
Okay, 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 okay. It's going to be okay, Avery. That got deeply personal for no reason. So for our wedding, Dan, we had like 140, 150 people, something like that. And instead of getting a big wedding cake, I enjoy cupcakes. So we just had a big smattering of cupcakes at my wedding.
Hmm.
And everybody could just come over and... You just walk over, grab a cupcake instead of having to wait for everybody to cut you a piece or whatever else, and there you go. How about that?
Cupcakes, a little more playful, Dan. How
do you enjoy the playful nature of that, Dan?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
I was trying to think back. What we had a wedding. We had the traditional wedding cake.
Yeah, the tears and everything.
Yeah. Have I ever told you this story? So, Sherry and I were married at Broadway Christian Church in Lexington. And they had the reception in the church basement. And so as a result, there obviously was no alcoholic beverages. And so we had, you know, punch and that kind of stuff. And my father, you know, he and Virgil kind of had a discussion. And they said, well, you know, none of our family drink. And so, you know, we're just going to have the reception in the church basement. And so after, you know, we left and they threw the rice and all of that stuff, my mom and dad had a party back at their hotel with the alcoholic beverages. And they invited everybody who was at the reception. It was a large wedding. I think we had close to 400 people.
Oh, geez. Okay.
And so my dad had gone out and bought a bunch of beer and wine that they had iced down. And his side of the story was once they brought out the beer, Sherry's family was knocking each other out of the way to get to the bar.
Yikes.
So we missed that.
We were broke when we got married, and I was not about to ask for, you know, a very expensive wedding. And so we got married at the church I grew up in, and then we got our reception was at the, so there was like a gym in the basement and then a dining club on the top floor of the office building my dad worked in. And so because he was a member of his firm, he just got a membership to this club, essentially. Mm. And so we had it at that dining club. Like, we literally didn't, like, tour anything. We didn't look for other spaces or, like, what would be fun. We didn't have a limo. It was like we went there, and that's what we had.
So,
yeah. There you go. And the booze bill at the reception was bigger than all the other bills put together.
Oh, I could imagine.
Yeah. Including the cost of my wife's dress.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah. You know, I remember Sheridan's wedding. And it was, somebody told me, if you want to save money, give them $25,000 and send them to Las Vegas. And what they should have told me was, give them $75,000 and send them to Las Vegas. That bill was ridiculous.
Getting some good texts. Texter, Avery's favorite dessert is angel food cake. Drizzled with the blood of her enemies.
I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Texter, LSU night game is channeling your derby drinking habits. What an epic time. Texter, coming from Avery's mom, hey, I am gluten-free and not by choice, so we torture each other with things that we can and cannot eat. Hence why she cannot hoard her desserts.
It's true. Like, no, so the day I found out I could no longer eat shrimp, here she is eating shrimp.
Crushing shrimp in front of you.
Like, no, we were in two different areas of Georgia, but I messaged her saying, hey, looks like I can't eat shrimp anymore. And here she is sending a picture of her eating shrimp. So I go to the dining hall, and they have these gluten-filled cupcakes. And so I take four of them, and I take a picture, and I send it to her. Like, if I can't have shrimp, I'm going to eat these cupcakes instead. Yeah, I got a little petty. I was angry that day.
It sounds like we know where you got it from.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I am the younger version of my mother.
There you go. Oh, man. But I do enjoy, and it's a reason that it's a big problem in the fall, all the little candies that kids get for Halloween.
Halloween?
I enjoy every single one of them. Like, I do not discriminate. That is a... That's a bad time of year for me.
So are you sneaking in the kids' sacks after they go to bed for some of their candy?
Did we get that clean, Avery?
Yes, we did.
Okay. All right. No, Dan. I make them put all their food together so that I can pick whatever I want.
Mm.
I'm that Dan.
Mm.
Dad's disappointed.
He sounds disappointed.
He sounds really disappointed.
He's so disappointed in you. You failed him, Louie. Wanted...
Are you excited about Lionel Messi going to Miami, Dan?
Yeah, I could care less.
Okay.
Could care less.
If he were coming to Colorado, would it be a big headline out there?
Not now.
It would be bad timing to announce
that
right now.
No, it would be bad timing for Messi to come. He used to be the best player in the world. He no longer is. What is he, 35 or something like that? I guess soccer fans will be excited about it. I don't think there's as many soccer fans in this country that as people would like to think. So, no, it makes no difference to me.
Got it. Texter, church basement. Obviously, there's no alcohol. Hey, Louie, explain Catholicism to Dan. Is a good text. I appreciate that very much. It was fun because growing up, I mean, like, and I'm about to make however thousand men in this it grew up here nod in their cars right now, but the place where we would play pickup basketball at my elementary school at St. Alphonsus turned into a beer hall on Saturdays, like it just or Friday nights during Lent. It just did, you know. It was just part of the deal. St. Alphonsus, mm-hmm. Nice gym. Now it's a beer hall. Like, yeah. And we're done here for sure.
I guess I was talking about Protestant church basements.
whatever Sherry grew up in. Because if you grew up Lutheran, there was definitely booze once in a while.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, no, right. There was, the when you went to a Lutheran reception, the pastor was the first guy in line.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so, yeah.
No. I do remember we're at a wedding reception one time, and I won't mention her name, but I'm there with a woman I know who is an acquaintance, and they sit us at the same table. And she brings a friend as her date, as her plus one. And the friend is obviously a, Pentecostal, evangelical, whatever type. And she sees the celebrant walk by, Father, whoever. And he's got a glass of wine, he's walking, and she goes, did you see? And my friend, who's not Catholic, but I think was teaching at a Catholic high school, puts her hand on her friend's hand and goes, honey, he gave up money. He gave up a family. And he lives by himself. Let the man have a glass
Gave
of wine.
Gave up women.
Let him have a glass of wine.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was pretty great. Oh, man.
He took a vow of poverty and, yeah, right, exactly. And celibacy. He didn't take an alcoholic vow.
A vow of Cabernet. Yeah, right. Oh, man. All right, so it looks like you're going to get your wish here, Dan, that the SEC is going to use the Big Ten's flex model, which means it keeps the league rivalries, at least, as part of the proposal. You got to be happy about that.
Yeah, it's...
And this is on the football side. I apologize. Go ahead.
Right. And I guess, is it today or tomorrow that the Big Ten's going to, not give out dates and times, but they're going to announce the teams... that will be playing in this coming football season and maybe next football season too. But, it's just a matter of time before the SEC goes to 9 conference games, and however they do it, they'll do it. But it'll be 9 conference games. They can't – it's got to be like the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun. And I hope cooler heads prevail and we do get to keep the Governor's Cup game as well. Do you have a percentage on that today, Dan?
Of the Governor's Cup
being played 5 years from now.
I hope so. Yeah. But again, if they go to 9 conference games, Kentucky's going to want those 3 gimmies, and that's why. Yep. That's why Kentucky is so adamant about not going to 9 games, because. Louisville's going to get better, and they're not going to dominate that series like they have been. And so they need those 3 games against nobodies to be bowl eligible. So I don't know. I'd go 50-50. I'd say it's up in the air if that game
sticks around. I think 50-50 is about right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hope it doesn't go away, but
– yeah.
But if they when they go, it's not if, when they go to 9 conference games, they'll have to take a hard look at it.
Are you excited that the Supreme Court is releasing a bunch of decisions this week, Dan?
No.
Okay.
Right. No.
You're not glued to SCOTUS blog like I am?
No. I have come to the conclusion that everybody in the world except me has a blog.
Blogger boys.
There's a guy that does the play-by-play for the Colorado Rockies baseball team. Drew
sure.
Goodman has been in media in Denver for 100 years. He did the Nuggets game for a while when I was coaching. And he called yesterday and said, could you come on my blog? If Drew Goodman has a blog, everybody has a blog. So I'm going to look into that.
All right. Well, I got a landing spot for you if you need one, okay?
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
A little landing spot. How about that?
Yeah. Can you make any money doing a blog?
Oh, we are making money doing a blog.
Good for you.
You know, because I needed another project. I told you this. I needed another project.
Now, are all blogs like weekly blogs, or how does that work?
It's as often as you post. And so so Jay's doing one for our collective group here, First Gen, for the NBA Finals and then for the draft and then into the NBA season. And so right now he's doing one during each game and then usually a summary of each game.
Hmm.
So that wouldn't be every day. It would be – or every week. It would be whenever, things are perfect assessment.
Well, if I did one, I think I'd want a monthly bog.
A monthly bog. Great.
That's about how often I want to work. But no, think about it. Think about the people that I could get on my blog. I mean, my Rolodex must have 15 basketball Hall of Famers on it.
Yeah, I bet they'd never want to go on ESPN Radio either. I've only been asking for a year.
Well, you know, what are you gonna do?
Names coming down as suggestions for your blog. Talking Jayhawks with Dan Issel.
There's my first guest, Bill Self. Yeah. Bill will talk to me, unlike Cal. Cal. I like that title, Never Cal Blog. Oh, man. All right. Well, we'll be back again tomorrow. Hopefully, Belmont will be running, and we'll be able to talk about the Belmont
Rock Chalking with Dan.
Oh, I love it. This has been Issel and Louie, ESPN 680, 105.7. We appreciate you listening. We'll be back again tomorrow at 10 o'clock and do it all over again. Have a great day, everybody.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition, and I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
"Come on, muscle through it."
But then also say,
"Hey, you should probably see my specialist."
Or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start, before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.